Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for you and your family, a time to open the Bible and see what God has to say to us through His Word. Freedom House is a non-profit organization that rates nations as free, partly free, or not free. They've come up with some amazing findings. 60 countries, including nearly half the world's population, were termed not free. When I read that, I was reminded of something the Apostle Paul says in this first verse that we're going to be looking at in Galatians. You might get your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. While you're doing that, I'd like to mention that this fine set of notes that we have on the letter to the Galatians is available to you. It was prepared by William MacDonald, who has written lessons for the Moody Bible Institute and the Emmaus Bible College. So if you would like to know more about getting this set of lessons, be sure to take down our address at the close of the program. Also, when writing to us, if you have questions or comments, send them along. Now, Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. However, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. Paul speaks here on their not being free, in fact, of being slaves. The Galatians had once been under bondage to idols. Now they were turning to another type of bondage, the bondage of the law. Before their conversion, they were heathen who worshipped idols of wood and stone, false gods. But how could the Galatians excuse their conduct now? They had come to know the true God, the living God. Look at Galatians 4, verse 9. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? That was Galatians 4, verse 9. If the Galatians did not know God in a deep experimental way, at least they were known by Him. That is, they were saved. Paul is now questioning why they are turning from God's power and riches to weak and poor things, the things connected with the law, such as circumcision, holy days, and rules of diet. They were turning from freedom and were again putting themselves in bondage to things that could neither save nor enrich. Paul labels the law and all its ceremonies as the weak and worthless elemental things. This is strong language to describe the law which God Himself had given. Paul had written to the Romans that the law was holy, just, and good. The explanation is that the law was intended for a certain time and for a certain purpose, as shown in Galatians chapter 3. The law was to reveal sin until Christ should come. To use the law as a producer of holiness is to replace Christ as the only way of salvation and holiness. When the law is made to rival Christ, it is weak and worthless. God's own legal ordinances were beautiful in their own time and place, but they are positive hindrances when substituted for the Lord Jesus. It is idolatry to turn from Christ to law. Yet the Galatians were observing the Jewish calendar with its Sabbaths, its festivals, and seasons. Notice how Paul warned them in the 10th and 11th verses of this fourth chapter of Galatians. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. Galatians 4, verses 10 and 11. Paul expresses fear for those who profess to be Christians, yet seek to find favor with God by legal observances. even unregenerate people can observe days and months and years. It gives them intense satisfaction to feel that there is something they can do in their own strength to win God's smile. But this implies that man has some strength, and that to that extent, he does not need a Savior. If Paul could write in this manner to the Galatians, what would he write to professing Christians today who are seeking to attain holiness by legal observances? Please think on these things. Be willing to evaluate your own life in the searchlight of these verses in Galatians. Many lonely sailors have been cheered by the flashing signal from the coast of Massachusetts. The signal sent out spells "I love you" in nautical code. Several years ago, the Coast Guard decided to replace the old equipment. They announced for technical reasons the new machines would be unable to flash the "I love you" message. The public protested, and the Coast Guard weakened. The old equipment remains and continues to send its message to cheer sailors. The Galatians loved the Apostle Paul and at one point had said they would gladly take out their own eyes and give them to him for some kind of implant. Possibly Paul suffered from an eye disease. Just before we take up those verses, we'd like to remind you that we're more than halfway through this series of studies on Galatians. If you have not written, we urge you to do so right away. Our address is given in the closing moments of each broadcast. Now Galatians 4, verse 12. We repeat the scripture reference so that you can follow along in your Bible. That's Galatians 4, verse 12. I beg you, brethren, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong. Apparently the Galatians had forgotten the love they had to Paul when he first preached the gospel to them. But he addresses them as brethren, in spite of their failures and his fears for them. Paul had been a Jew under law, and now in Christ he was free from the law. So he says, "Become as I am, delivered from the law and no longer living under it." The Gentile Galatians had never been under law, and were not under it now. And thus the Apostle Paul is saying, "I became as you are. I, who was a Jew, now enjoy the freedom from the law which Gentiles always had." The expression, "you have done me no wrong," is not exactly clear. Perhaps he is saying that he had no feeling of personal injury as a result of their treatment of him. That they should have turned away from him to false teachers was not so much a blow at him personally as a blow at the truth of God, and thus an injury to their own selves. Now Galatians 4, verse 13. "But you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time." That was Galatians 4, verse 13. Paul preached the gospel to them in physical weakness. God often uses weak, despised, poor instruments to accomplish His work in order that the glory will be His and not man's. Now the next verse, verse 14. This is Galatians 4, verse 14. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus Himself. Paul's sickness was a trial to himself, and probably to those who listened to him. However, the Galatians did not refuse him because of his physical appearance or because of his speech. Instead, they received him as an angel of God. That is, a messenger sent by God. The word angel means messenger. They received Paul as they would receive Christ Jesus Himself. They accepted Paul's message as the very Word of God. This is a lesson for all of us concerning our treatment of the Lord's messengers. We should receive them as we receive Christ. Now let's go on to verse 15. This is Galatians 4, verse 15. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. When they first heard the gospel, they acknowledged what a rich blessing it was to their souls. So great was their appreciation and love that they would have given their eyes to Paul, if it were possible. This might be an indication that Paul's thorn in the flesh was an eye disease. But now, after this problem with the law, where is their sense of gratitude? Unfortunately, it has vanished like the morning dew. We have time for one more verse. This is Galatians 4, verse 16. Galatians 4, 16. Have I therefore become your enemy by telling you the truth? What accounted for their changed attitude toward Paul? He was still preaching the same message, earnestly contending for the truth of the gospel. If this made him their enemy, then their position was dangerous indeed. It is good occasionally to take spiritual inventory. It's good to ask some questions like, am I just going through the motions in worship, in prayer? How do I react to people who tell me the truth? This is a good chapter to help in a spiritual inventory. As we close the books, we'd like to remind you that we always enjoy hearing from you. So write us a letter after the broadcast. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.